بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد سلام this morning session two things one is the beliefs of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat importance of our Aqaid and the correct beliefs and thereafter inshallah we will have a summary of the Quran Majid which was recited last night in the Tarawih Salah بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Aqaid the importance from the Quran and Hadith we learn that the most valuable treasure is Iman And the greatest calamity is kufr. Everlasting success is the result of iman, whilst everlasting loss is the consequence of kufr and disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, It is He who created you. However, some amongst you are disbelievers, and some amongst you are believers. Mankind is divided into two groups. One is the disbeliever, who is ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has been ungrateful rebelled and made treason against his creator. For him is everlasting punishment in the year after. As for the believer, he submits to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is grateful, accepts the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and affirms his rule. For the believer, the reward is great. He has been promised lofty mansions in the gardens of Jannah, peace and perpetual happiness. Righteous deeds are only acceptable to Allah Ta'ala if Iman is present. Without correct beliefs, righteous deeds are not accepted for reward in the year after. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, Whoever practices righteous deeds, be it male or female, while he or she is a believer, verily they will enter Jannah. The first question posed to a person in the grave will be regarding beliefs. As far as those whose beliefs are not correct, that is the disbelievers, Their righteous deeds will not be acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala in the year after. Aqaid are like roots, and actions are like the branches. Just as how branches grow because of the roots, similarly beliefs are the source of actions. Therefore the greatest obligation on man is to correct his beliefs and to cleanse himself of wrong ideologies. He should adorn himself with good actions and try to earn Allah's pleasure, which is in fact the prime object of coming into this world. Secondly, one must realize that from all the religions, Islam is the chosen religion by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And the rightful inheritors and true followers of Islam are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. These two facts are proven theoretically and logically. Thirdly, one has to understand what the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat are. Their beliefs are those which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And all of them remain steadfast on these beliefs without any differences. Later on, people introduced new beliefs and divided into many factions and groups. Nevertheless, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat remained staunch on the beliefs of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and did not devise their own belief structure. These are the same beliefs found in the Quran and Ahadith. Since the need for correct aqaid is essential for salvation, it was a command by Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sadaam Barakatum to prepare a booklet which could be read in Ramadan for the Mu'takifin. Regarding correct beliefs in accordance to today's times. We beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this humble effort and make it a means of all of our salvation as well as those who benefit from it. Ameen. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last night in the Tarawih Salah, 1 1/4 paras were recited. The first surah which is recited in every Salah, Surah Fatiha, 7 min al-Mathani, 7 oft repeated verses. And ulama say this is Ummul Quran, is the mother of the Quran, the root of the Quran. The crux of the whole Quran Sharif is found in that 7 verses. In the 14th Juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have granted you this great bounty, Sab'a min al-Mathani, the 7 verses which are often repeated. La tamuddanna aynayka ila ma matta'ana bihi. After getting this bounty of the Quran and Surah Fatiha especially, never ever turn your gaze towards the people of this dunya, whatever we have given them of mata', small. Things of benefits of this world, which is very temporary. Do not turn your gaze towards that. It's given you such a great bounty, Surah Fatiha. And Subhanallah, the ulama has written so much of detail regarding Surah Fatiha. Imam Razi Rahmatullah says, I can take out 10,000 masail just from Surah Fatiha itself. And he said, somebody objected and said, it's not possible. And he wrote, explained to the person how I'll take out 10,000 masail from this one surah. So what depth there is in the Quran Sharif, this is just a very basic summary. Of what the Quran Sharif holds, the depth of the Quran Sharif, that who can go into it. No matter how much a person swims in the Quran Sharif, he'll never reach the shores of the Quran Sharif. There's so much of depth in the Quran. Allah give us tawfiq that throughout our lives we learn the Quran and we try to understand the Quran Sharif also. So in Surah Fatiha, ulama say that firstly we start praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. And why do we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our conditions, in the past, present and future. Rabbil Alameen, Allah in the past He created us, He sustained us, He's looking after us, He brought us from non-existence into existence. So we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the past. At the present moment we are in need of Allah's rahmat and mercy, ar-Rahman. In this world where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His rahmat and mercy upon us. And in the future on the day of Qiyamah, we will also need Allah's mercy, the ar-Rahim, and Maliki Yawmi Deen. Allah is the Malik, He is the master of the day of Qiyamah. As Imam Shahaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that Allah said, I am Malik, I am not Qadi. Qadi is a judge. And a judge has to pass decision according to what he is commanded. There are certain laws, he has to pass decision according to laws. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik. And Malik is that being, he is the owner. He can do as he wants on the day of Qiyamah. He goes against all the laws also. This is within the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after realizing that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our conditions, then we ask Allah ta'ala that, oh Allah, we are only worshipping you, we stay, and we are only seek your assistance and help. And we are completely in need of you. And therefore the greatest need which a person wants in this world is hidayat, straight path, path towards Jannah. So we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah, it's also called surah to dua. It teaches us what is the most important dua in the world, and the most important dua is for hidayat. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes every namaz, every day, we have to read the surah over and over again, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance on the straight path, the path of those people who Allah has favored, and not upon maghdubi alayhim wa dhalin. Maghdubi alayhim means the Jews and the Christians. The ulama say what it means is that the Jews were people who had knowledge, but they did not practice upon their knowledge. And the Christians were those people who wanted to, they had love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they did not have the knowledge. So they manifested it in the wrong way. So it's very extremely important is to have both, to have knowledge also, and to have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person will remain on the right path. Otherwise, all the people who have gone astray is either because of not having knowledge, or they had the correct knowledge, but then they did not practice upon that knowledge. So in this way, they were misguided. And an'amta alayhim, this refers to those people whose knowledge was extremely strong. The Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, Siddiqeen is a person whose yaqeen is kamil and perfect. He's got no doubt at all upon any command. He's got the highest levels of tasdeeq, of belief in the words of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shuhada, those people who are prepared to give their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salihin, the pious and the righteous people, they've got amal in their lives, they've got correct belief, and they've got a lot of good actions in their life. So these are the four groups who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. The person should try to follow these people. So we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us on the straight path, and on the part of these people. So this surah we repeat it over and over, and then we say Ameen thereafter. In our salah we are reading in Namaz with Jamaat, and the Imam says Ameen, and we also say Ameen at that time. But all our past sins, they are forgiven. That is why the great importance of reading salah with Jamaat also. Once he was an pious person, he used to always perform salah with Jamaat. So one day he missed his salah with Jamaat, and he was so grief-stricken. So at home he read the same salah 27 times. He repeated because of the virtue. 27 times more of a virtue you get. And that night he saw an angel in the dream, and the angel asked him, that what about the Ameen behind the Imam? When a person says Ameen together with the Imam at the same time, خُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمُ مِنْ ذَمِي, all his past sins are forgiven. So just to say Ameen also is a very great amal, is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then next is Surah Baqarah. This is the longest surah in the Quran Sharif. In the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of the people of Iman. Five qualities Allah mentions. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, because we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayat. So Allah has given us hidayat. Allah says this whole kitab now is your hidayat, is your guidance. You ask me for hidayat. There are two ways of hidayat. One is Rijalullah and one is Kitabullah. First Allah mentioned Rijalullah, Hidina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladina Namta Alim, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions now the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Zalik al-Kitab. You are asking for hidayat, here is the book you must follow. So when two of them, a person holds on firm unto the book of Allah and the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then also he'll be rightly guided. The Jews, they only held onto the book of Allah, and they cut themselves off from the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Christians, and on the other extreme, they only held onto the men of Allah, all their priests and their popes, whatever, but they left the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the one side. So they were also misguided. So both these paths a person needs, men of Allah and the Book of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions five qualities here of the people who will benefit from the Book of Allah, those who are the muttaqeen. First one is yu'minuna bil ghayb. They have got full belief in the unseen. And so this is something which we have to work upon. We cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we got our yaqeen and conviction on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot see the angels, we cannot see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People saw him, but many non-believers saw him as Rasul, as Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Whereas yu'minuna bil ghayb is to believe in him as Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first thing, our iman in the unseen. And then perfection of a person's salah, spending a person's wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, believing in whatever has been revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, included in there is the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the past scriptures also, all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, we accept every single one of them. And number five, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, not just to have iman in akhirat in the year after, but yaqeen. Yaqeen means firm conviction. The opposite of yaqeen is shak. It isn't the smallest amount of shak, it's the smallest amount of doubt also regarding the matters of the akhirat, the life of the year after. Allah says that these are the people on guidance and they are completely successful. Thereafter, in two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the kuffar and disbelievers and their qualities. And then in the next 13 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, for two reasons. He said many people claim they've got iman, but they've got actually hypocrisy. They are saying one thing, but their hearts are completely different. And in here, the ulama say that all the batil firqas, all the incorrect deviant sects, Allah has mentioned the usul and principle in these two pages. For example, the Shias, if you read every of these ayahs, you will find that there's a reference to the Shias, the qualities which they have got within themselves, is found amongst the munafiqeen. Actually, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, rahmatullahi alayhi, who is a very great person according to us, the Shias also hold him in high esteem. He says that every ayah of the Quran which mentions the munafiqeen, if you study the Shias, the Shias got those qualities in them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the evil qualities they have got. They say certain things, you believe in Allah in the day of Qiyamah, but they don't actually have true belief in it. They've got a funny concocted belief of it. They try to give deception to the people of Iman. They've got a sickness in their heart, spiritual sicknesses, and Allah is increasing them in the sickness. They've got the habit of lies, and when it's told to them, they do not cause trouble in the earth. They say, no, we are only trying to make Islah, we're trying to correct things, but they are the ones who are causing trouble. When it is said to them, believe like how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu believed, they say, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. Should we believe like how the stupid, the foolish people used to believe, na'udhu billah? So it shows that the iman of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is taken as a yardstick, as it comes in the end of this part also, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. So the yardstick, criterion of success, is the iman of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the foolish and stupid people. And when they meet the people of iman, they say, we are with you, we believe. But when they go to the shayateen, the evil friends and assistants, you say, we are with you people. But it's called taqiyah. You speak lies. And you try to make both sides happy. And you try to make a mock of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the punishment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them. In the next ruku, so in the beginning, first ruku, Allah mentioned the three groups. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, as our ulama mentioned, three fundamental questions which every person in life he asks. It's something which is natural. And we have to ask this question, that where have I come from? Number two, what am I doing in this world? And what's the object of coming in this world, and where am I going to eventually? So subhanAllah, in this ayat, in this page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions where we have come from. Allah ta'ala says that Allah khalaqakum, Allah is your creator. He has created you and your parents. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything. Allah has created you, brought you into existence. And all of the bounties which you are enjoying in this world is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The earth and the heavens and the water which is coming down and the different types of food which a person has got in his life, all have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the object of coming in this world? وَعُبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the object of worship? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so a person can build up his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person can save himself from the fire of Jahannam. This is the object of coming in this world. How will a person know now, what must I do in this world? I do not know, how must I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, I have given you the Qur'an. What's the proof that the Quran is the Quran, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says it's a miracle. If you want to, you can bring the whole world together to try to bring a kitab like this. It's impossible for a person to do so. This is a clear proof that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, where am I going to? Allah says there are two places. One is the fire of Jahannam. The fuel of it is human beings and stones. It has been already prepared for the disbelievers. On the other hand, Allah ta'ala mentions that those who have iman and do good actions, for them is gardens flowing beneath their rivers. And what bounties, the fruits they will be granted there, and the wives, the beautiful wives, pure wives, And the greatest bounty is they will remain in there forever and forever and forever. They will never be taken out. So these are the place a person must decide now whether he wants to go towards Jannat or he wants to go towards Jahannam. Thereafter in the next ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah, why did Allah ta'ala send human beings in this world? Even the angels had a bit of doubt that we are making the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is special about human beings? So, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيُسِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Oh Allah, you're going to create human beings on the surface of the earth. The angels saw two qualities in human beings. One is قُوَّةِ غَذَبِيَا and one is قُوَّةِ شَهْوِيَا. A lot of shahwat and desires to get things. And a lot of anger in them. So the قُوَّةِ شَهْوِيَا, the desires for any person was so a person can attain things. And غَذَبِيَا, to protect himself from harm. Allah Ta'ala created these two things. So when the angels saw it, they said, oh Allah, they will cause fasad in the earth. He will make zina. He will try to take benefit in whatever way he wants to. He will cause trouble in the earth. He wants to get things. And because of his anger within him, يَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, he will kill people, murder people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you do not know. What actually your ulama say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these two qualities in us. The one quality will take a person towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other quality, قُوَّةَ غَذَبِيَا, will take a person to get angry for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. When a person's love is only for Allah and his hatred is only for Allah, this is kamal iman, this is perfection of iman. But the angels didn't realize it at that time. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave knowledge to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And because of this knowledge, the angels were forced to make sajda before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why the ulama say that even in today's time, following in the footsteps of the other angels, all the angels till today, when a person is in the path of ilm, in the path of knowledge, they lay out their wings out of respect for the person who is in the path of knowledge. This man is going in the path of knowledge. Like Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, because of his knowledge, we made sajda to him. So in today's time or today, continuing that viraset, that method, that they humble themselves before a person who is seeking the knowledge of deen, to show the great virtue of the knowledge of deen, which is granted to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he became a student malaika. Unfortunately, Iblis, he had pride within himself, he was not prepared to accept, and he tried to take Adam alayhi salatu wasalam out of Jannah by eating from the, he made waswasa, inshallah, the incident will come later on in greater detail. But Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, as soon as he made a mistake, he asked Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his forgiveness, and then he was sent down as the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. And Allah said, I will send hidayah to you all the time, guidance, path. And if a person follows that path, there is no fear upon the people, they won't grieve. But if on the other hand, those people were not prepared to accept, they will be the people of Jahannam, and they will remain in there forever and forever. Thereafter, in great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Bani Israel. Two reasons. One is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to warn us that we must not fall into the same trap and of the Bani Israel, the same mistakes which they had made. And the second thing is Allah Ta'ala is warning us also, encouraging them also to come towards Iman and towards Islam. But look at the bounties which Allah had given you. Why are you people not accepting? So in the next about half para or three quarter para juice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great, great bounties which he had sent upon the Bani Israel. Bounties upon bounties. And unfortunately the Bani Israel, all of these bounties, they went against it. Funny things they did in their life. When something was brought, they started making objections, asking funny questions, and instead of just saying sami'ana wa ata'na, we hear and we obey, they started asking questions, especially in the story of the cow, which Allah mentions in great detail. They brought objections all the time. Eventually they were nearly destroyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of the evil qualities and all the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, that when Allah granted them the kitab, some portion of the kitab they accepted, some portion of the kitab they didn't believe in it. Allah says, the person who does so, the only punishment for him will be khizyun fil hayat dunya, disgrace in this worldly life. And on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be turned to a very severe punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, instead of following the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually these people, they went unto jadu, unto magic, black magic, and they started utilizing all of these things to create differences between men and women. Instead of following the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was a special servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had enmity and hatred in their heart for Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Certain words, Allah Ta'ala makes the islah and correct them, that they are saying certain words which has dual meanings. They meant one thing and outwardly they said something else. So all of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits them from. And the worst thing is that after doing all of these evil actions, they still felt that we are the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are successful in the year after. We don't have to do anything. If we go Jahannam also, we'll go for a few days. So all of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us that, oh Muslims, look at the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What and what bounties Allah has given you. So we make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these bounties. And be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be like the Bani Israel, many of them, who use the bounties of Allah ta'ala in the in the wrong way, and they broke the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then eventually they felt, like many Muslim people feel, oh, if I'm a Muslim, if I go to Jahannam, I'll go for a short while and come out. This is a attitude of the Jews, and then the Christians, the Bani Israel, they had that pride. I don't, if I was the fire of Jahannam, I'll go for a few days. Whereas a believer must be tested, must have this concern, mustn't enter for 1 second or so in the fire of Jahannam. Coming to the end of the first Jews, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, who was the father of all the four, the major three religions, and now even the polytheists, they accepted Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how he built the Kaaba Sharif, and after building the Kaaba Sharif, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. He said, Allah, accept this from us. You are the one who is hearing everything. You have knowledge of our intentions. So accept from us. So after building such a great work he did, he didn't get pride in himself. I have done such a great action. But he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance in his court. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam also, and Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam at the time of the death especially, they were very concerned about their children. They must remain steadfast on Iman, on Islam, on Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be the concern of every single parent. Is my children remaining steadfast on Islam, on Iman? Have they got the correct beliefs, the correct Amal in their lives? So this is a concern a father should automatically have. Many fathers have worry, when I die, what will happen to my child? Has he got enough wealth in this world? But that's not the important thing. The more important is what Iman he's got, what Islam he's got, because this will be forever and forever. It will take him in the year after. In the first quarter of the second Jews, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very great incident which took place, was the changing of the Kaaba Sharif from Masjid al-Aqsa towards the Kaaba Sharif. The Qibla direction was changed from Masjid al-Aqsa to Kaaba Sharif, and many people had objections against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And anyhow, this was the desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down ayat regarding this year. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually turning towards Kaaba Sharif. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people, the doubts they got, the main thing is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is facing the direction. It's not the direction, but it's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like our Rosa now, they are fasting steady time. A certain time Allah has given us command, we have to start fasting at that time. Iftar time, Allah has commanded us at a certain time, we stop at that time. If a person feels I want to be very pious, I keep a Rosa for 3 or 4 extra hours, don't be accepted in the court. Fast will take place, but the person won't get the reward, the complete reward, because he's following his own desires. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great virtue of sabr. And when some difficulties will come in a person's life, everyone will go through difficulties, either hunger, fear, loss of wealth, lives, fruits. But at that time, a person must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah. We accept whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. But then Allah, to make us happy, says, Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah consoles us that one day we're going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is going to reward us. What and what bounties Allah has got for us. So we're going to go back. If we are separated from our family members, we're going to get the reward. We're going to meet the people thereafter. Allah Ta'ala says, Ulaika alayhim salawatu min rabbihim wa rahmah. Such people who, at the time of difficulties, they read this dua and they ponder over the meaning. Allah's special rahmat comes upon such people, and Allah's general mercy. And these are the righteous people who are rightly guided. In the second last ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if a person got aqal, he got brains, understanding, every way in the world he will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the creating of the heavens and the earth, the changes of the day and night, the ships which are moving in the ocean, and how they are moving, what systems Allah has made, and all the water which is coming down, and how the earth becomes alive after the earth is completely dead, and every single animal which Allah Ta'ala has spread out in the world, and the movement of the wind, and the clouds which are suspended between the heavens and the earth. 8 signs Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here. If a person ponders over them, he will definitely understand the qudrat, the power, and he will get the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more a person ponders over these things, it will open up to him, and he will understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full control over everything in the world, and his love and his ma'rifat, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal and to bring the yaqeen and conviction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Muhammadu wa salli ala Rasulil Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Verily, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains this, saying, La shay'a akbaru min dhikrillah. Nothing is greater than the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ما عمل آدمي عملا أنجى له من عذاب الله من ذكر الله قالوا ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله قال ولا أن يضرب بسيفه حتى ينقطع لأن الله تعالى يقول في كتابه ولا ذكر الله أكبر رواه أحمد. حضرت معاذ بن جبل رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ فرماتے ہیں آدمی نے عذاب الہی سے نجات دلانے والا کوئی عمل ذکر سے بڑھ کر نہیں کیا. صحابہ کرام رضوان اللہ تعالی علیہم اجمعین نے پوچھا اے اللہ کے رسول جہاد فی سبیل اللہ بھی نہیں؟ فرمایا ہاں جہاد فی سبیل اللہ بھی نہیں سوا اس کے کہ جہاد فی سبیل اللہ کے میدان میں تلوار چلاتے چلاتے بہادری کے وہ جوہر دکھائے اور جان کی بازی لگا کر وہ زبردست مقابلہ کیا تلوار بھی ٹوٹ گئی. تو ایسا جہاد ذکر اللہ کی برابری کرے تو کرے کیونکہ اللہ جل جلالہ وعم نوالہ کا فرمان ہے قرآن کریم میں ولذکر اللہ اکبر. حضرت معاذ بن جبل رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ once said there is no action which can save one from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greater than the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon hearing this, one companion exclaimed, not even jihad, waging war in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He replied, not even if one continues striking with his sword until it breaks, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.